3 of us. I, fortunately, was in the first one. And they went up at speed. No speed restrictions on Mount Tabor for the local taxi service. Hairpin bends as you go, and it got more and more frightening as we got to the top. But when we got out of the taxis, on the top of Mount Tabor, there was a beautiful panoramic view, away from the hustle and the bustle, away from the noise, away from the crowds. There was peace. There was stillness, and we could, as our blood pressure lowered, as our heartbeat stabilized, as we were now on terra firma on the top of the mountain, we could realize why Jesus took those 3 disciples to this panoramic location. And there they were, this time nobody else around. What a sense of privilege that was for those disciples to have quality time with Jesus on his own, with nobody else pushing or shoving, nobody else wanting to get near Jesus, nobody else wanting to talk to Jesus. Jesus was there with them on their own. And while he was there, he was transfigured before them. And we heard that very dramatic account of the transfiguration in our readings this morning. And of course, Peter, James, and John said, it is good for us to be here. Good to be away from the crowds, good to be away from the challenges of everyday life, up here in this heavenly realms, as it were, looking down on magnificent countryside for miles and miles and miles, Jesus on their own. And of course they say, right, if we're going to stay here forever, we're going to have houses, we're going to have buildings here, and they offer immediately to build one house, one church for Elijah, one for Moses, those greatest of the prophets. But Jesus is trying to get them to realize who he really is. The penny hasn't yet dropped that he is the Messiah, that he is different from those prophets of the Old Testament who've gone before. Yes, there is a continuity. Jesus is going forward, continuing the work of those early prophets. But the penny hasn't dropped. But Jesus is at that moment encouraging those disciples to look beyond the here and now and to take them forward, jumping forward. And there is reference to the glory of the resurrection. That is coming, but not yet here. And then we hear those words from heaven. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now the penny is beginning to drop. Now they are beginning to realize that Jesus is not like one of those who have gone before. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, and has this sense of approval from God for his ongoing work of ministry that's going to take him ultimately to the cross. And as people of faith, we do give thanks that Good Friday was not the end. Rather, it was just the beginning. And we have the light, the shining light, the bright light of the transfiguration, and how that in times to come, as we get near to the cross, what a contrast. Darkness, end, death, crucifixion, the Son of God for us on the cross. As we would sing in a few weeks' time, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. And Jesus is now instructing these disciples, yes, you now see me who I really am. You now know what is going to be happening. You are seeing all of this in the dramatic effect of transfiguration. But they realize, despite their wishes, they cannot stay there forever. Yes, to be free of the challenges and the stress and the issues of daily life, we can see why they wanted to stay up there. But Jesus was determined back down the mountain they were going to have to come. The work of ministry had to be ongoing. Jesus was following his vocation that was taking him to the cross for us. And then the joy and the first light of that first Easter was going to be on the horizon. But that's in the future. This is now. And they had to come back down the mountain, having seen who Jesus was, having realized that he is the Son of God. But they saw Jesus now as he really was. But what about us? What about Peter, James, and John? Were they seeing themselves as they really were at that moment in time? And if we were to put ourselves in their position, what about ourselves? Who are we really? Who do people see in us? What person are they seeing? Because those disciples were seeing two aspects of Jesus. They were seeing him before the transfiguration, and then they heard this voice from heaven with the affirmation, the Son of God, and they were coming down with that sense of focus, that realization who Jesus was. They were changed people from what they had experienced, and now it was the final push to move towards Calvary, and then we do give thanks. That was not the end. The resurrection and Easter morning was coming. But they had to get back to work. Jesus had to fulfill his ministry and his vocation. But what were those disciples thinking about themselves when they saw the transfiguration? They realized who Jesus was. What about them? And if they were thinking that, what about us as we hear that familiar story? What about us as people see us? Perhaps in our professional capacities, perhaps in our capacity as a family member, perhaps in our capacity in organizations, our clubs, or wherever it may be. Do people see us in a way that we are proud? Do people see us in a way that they can be pleased, with whom I am well pleased? That's what God was saying about Jesus on the transfiguration. Or is there shortcomings? Because Ash Wednesday is coming on Wednesday. An opportunity for us, and very timely, to have the transfiguration today as we approach Ash Wednesday. An opportunity for us to dig down deep into our faith, to reflect on the sort of people we are. Can people see Christ in us? Christ who was transfigured, and those disciples were changed. How could they not be changed from what they had experienced? And yet they remained loyal and steadfast on the onward journey. But can people see Christ in us? In our thinking, in our speaking, and in our doing. Because if you are a bit like me, I'm sure there is room for improvement. When perhaps we hit the exasperation button maybe too soon, or perhaps we say something or do something with the benefit of hindsight we wish we hadn't, or perhaps we're not very proud. As faithful disciples of Christ, we give thanks immeasurably that Christ does not abandon us when we get things wrong. Rather, he equips us, he encourages us, and he forgives us and gives us the strength for a fresh start to do better the next time. And thankfully, he doesn't leave us on our own to get on with it, because we would most certainly fail if we did. We have the sacraments, the spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ, our daily devotions, our church fellowship and friendship, the coming together, supporting one another, God with us, the incarnation. The Christmas message all those months ago is still as true today as it was on December 25th, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. An opportunity to stop, to pause, to rethink and to reset our values, our focus, our priorities. Can people see the love of God in us, the love of Christ reflected in every aspect of our lives? Listen to me, were those words from God. Perhaps in Lent, all of us should listen to Christ more. That quiet, still voice of calm entering into every aspect of the rush, the pressure, the challenge, the stress of daily life. Because to listen first may well keep the blood pressure lower, the heartbeat ticking at a more stable level. And that's why I've asked Bishop Alan Abernethy, the former Bishop of Connor, to be with us for some of our Lenten services starting on Ash Wednesday night, when Bishop Abernethy is going to be endeavouring to connect our faith with the challenges of life as we listen to the still small voice of calm from Christ. May we do just that as we give thanks for the transfiguration and for the change it had for Jesus, the affirmation who he really was, and the change in those disciples. May we change also to listen and to reflect the things of God, myself included. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
As those assembled to celebrate our faith, we profess what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the King.
And grant us government of Israel.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servant shine with
honor. O Lord, save your people.
And bless those who fear Jesus.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be with
you. O God, may clean our hearts within us. The appointed prayer for this day. Father in heaven, whose Son Jesus Christ was wonderfully transfigured before chosen witnesses upon the holy mountain, and spoke of the exodus he would accomplish at Jerusalem. Give us strength so to hear his voice and bear our cross in this world, that in the world to come we may see him as he is, where he is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favour, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And we continue in prayer. Almighty God, you love this world so much that you give your only Son, Jesus, to be our Saviour, and his presence is with us today. We give thanks for your glory shown in the Mountain of Transfiguration, where you pulled back the veil of heaven and Jesus was revealed in majesty. You call upon us to listen to him, and so we ask that you open our hearts to your word, and by your Spirit lead us in your ways, giving us strength to follow you. Show us how our lives may be transformed by you, so that others see you in us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, help us to live in ways which show by our deeds the